That we won't have to worry anymore. Amen. That song. All of our worries will be gone after this world. Amen. That's right. This morning we're going to be looking into a few verses here. And I think I'm on the wrong clip there. Well, maybe not. Oh, that's where we'll start then. message is the well of the water springing up. And I took this title from verse 14 or chapter 9 of John. And the series I've been preaching here is about the spiritual warfare that we are experiencing in our lives each day, who we encounter with Satan. And we're studying about the angels on Wednesday night, and right now we're studying about Lucifer. He was a beautiful angel. He was had all authority other than what God had, but he's a fallen angel, and then he was sent down here to earth, and so we're in a spiritual battle with him each day. And Jesus gives us some very important insights from his scriptures himself, and even in the Old Testament, how we can ward off or battle or fight against the powers of the air, the powers of this earth, which Satan has, which is his domain. And, you know, you come each Sunday, all of us come together, and you get to sing, we get to share our thoughts and our prayers and our praises and so forth, and you get to hear a message. But there's nothing like being in the Word of God each day. Getting the instructions and being able to read and study the Word yourself. And then when you come on Sunday morning, you're ready to share your experiences that you have. And so this morning, I want us to think about how that we can have that living water flowing in our lives that Jesus offers, God, that the Trinity offers us each day, a well springing up of water, which is the Spirit of God. So if you think about the well of water springing up, Jesus calls a quickening gift of the Spirit living water. That's what he calls it, living water. And we can't survive without water, right? We can survive life better with water than we can eating food. But it's because mere man, nature, is barren of all the virtues by the crimes that Satan brings upon our lives. Now, in reference to the arrival of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the prophet Isaiah, he said in chapter 35, verse 6, "For water shall burst forth in the wilderness and the streams in the desert." Now, we know that the desert is dry land, but now Isaiah is saying water is going to burst up and spring forth. And that's how it is with the Spirit of God. If we have a dry season in our life, you know, we turn to him, and he provides all the nourishment that we need through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus entered this world bringing with him a stream of spiritual abundance that would convey life, dry, and thirsty souls. And this world is thirsty for something, and they turn to worldly things. But we can provide, and we can direct them to Jesus Christ, and they won't be thirsty anymore. If you drink from the fountain of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never thirst again. So, salvation from sin that God wants to give through His Son, Jesus Christ, is likened to water that we drink, or the water that we know. For the water is virtually important to all of life on earth. Now, without water, all living things on earth will die, right? It will die. And in a similar manner, without the water, without water, things on earth will dry up. And without the water that comes from the well of salvation through Jesus Christ, all human beings will die spiritually, a spiritual death. And that happened at the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. That's where it all began. But praise God, Jesus came into this world and removed all of the sin. If we accept Him as our Savior, and gives us that spiritual water to drink from now on. So today we're going to learn how to clean out our well when it gets clogged up or stopped up. And in order to remain and have that joy of our salvation and our spiritual walk with the Lord each day. And sometimes we need just a good cleaning out, pruning back of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at the well of living water in John chapter 4, 14. Now, when we think about all of this, the living water, the Bible compares salvation bestowed on believers to living, sustaining water. Now, John wrote Revelation, and he says that in heaven there would be a pure river, a water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Kind of goes with the song that was sung a while ago, or the choir sang, we won't have to worry anymore. Everything is going to be perfect in heaven. And that anyone that can partake of this living water right now, saying, whoever desires, let him drink the water of life freely. That's Revelation 22, 17. And this is the same message. And think about this. The same message that Christ proclaimed to the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. She came to draw water, not realizing Jesus was going to be there, and she was surprised. That was his appointed time to be there to meet her, to save her and her whole household and friends and everybody. Jesus was able to tell her all about her life, and she said, you got to be a prophet to be able to do that. Not realizing she was talking to Jesus Christ, a true Messiah that everyone had been looking for. And in John 14:4, this is the verse that I want us to think about right now, where I took the title of our message. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Since you've met Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, have you thirsted since then? Maybe physically, yes, but not spiritual. And the more you are in the Word of God, the more your thirst will be quenched. It would be taken care of. And Jesus goes on to say, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life, as the song said, we won't have to worry about it anymore. Amen to that, I tell you. So Jesus utilized this important event here, this opportunity at the well, to provide a lesson, not only to that woman, to every one of us, everyone that's ever set foot upon this earth that is thirsty, spiritual, in order to reinforce the fact of how he longs to grant people eternal life. That's when he came. And if someone desires to give or his or her heart to Jesus Christ, then their new life in him will be eternal life. The life we have here on this earth is only temporarily, but eternal life is everlasting. So it will be a constantly flowing well that never runs dry. I mean, that's exciting. That is the joy of our life, knowing Jesus Christ provides that. So, eternal life. Think about this. Eternal life, you know, it's hard to comprehend all this eternal things that are coming. But Hebrews 11:1 said, faith is the substance of those things hoped for and the evidence of those things that we haven't seen yet. So we're talking about the eternal things, and the Hebrew writer is revealing to us those things will come. We can't comprehend them right now, but when they do, we won't have to worry about it anymore. So eternal life in Christ is obtained in a similar fashion. So God's grace is freely given. And boy, aren't you thankful for God's grace? Amen. It's wonderful. And it will be, it's freely given always with us, and we cannot have to work to replenish it. All right, let's move on to stopping up your wells. How does that happen? Well, 2 Kings 3:19 gives us some insights on that. We have within us a well of living water, and the devil doesn't like that. You know, he wanted to be in power. He wanted to be more powerful than God himself, and that's why he was cast out of heaven. But he didn't like the well of living water in us, so he doesn't like that. So in Hebrews the Hebrew word, Satan means adversary or enemy. He is our enemy. Wednesday night we talked about in John chapter 8:44 that he is the father of lies. There's no truth in him. And he is our enemy. And Satan is definitely is our adversary, and he wants to stop up our well. He wants us to not have that living water. He wants us to thirst. So in Hebrews, the word Satan and the Hebrew word Sodom means to lay snares. And he laid snares for Jesus when Jesus went out into the wilderness to pray after he baptized John. And the Heavenly Father came down as the Holy Spirit, the spirit of a dove, and landed upon him and said, "This is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased." And then the Spirit led him out into the wilderness. And Satan was there waiting to set snares and traps for Jesus. But Jesus come back with the Word of God and defended himself with the truth and knowledge from God. But it also is translated as stopped up or closed off. And the word solemn is used in reference to stopping up wells. In the Old Testament, that was during battles and things like that, such as we read in 2 Kings 3:19, which says, "Also you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall cut off every good tree, and stop up every spring of water, and ruin every good piece of land with stones." Now that's coming from 2 Kings, and that's what Satan tries to do. So the portion of this verse I want us to understand, to emphasize, is stopping up springs of water. That's what Satan tries to do in our spiritual life. And that doesn't have to happen. Especially as a Christian, we belong to him. Satan cannot obsess us in any ways. So the KJV translates it as stopping all wells of water. Both springs and wells present an unending, continually flowing supply of water. And that comes from heaven every moment of our life. And as we read and study the Word of God, we understand and we can feel the Spirit of God moving in and through our lives the same way. And stopping up the wells of the enemy was a warfare strategy used in the Old Testament. Now, and the strategy that resulted in opposing forces coming weakened from the thirst and choosing and making them want to surrender. That's why 2 Kings 3:16 emphasized this. This is how it worked then. Now, those who know Jesus, those who know him, Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, within them a well of living water flowing continually. Now, so what are the things that Satan used to stop up your well? He uses stones. Stones of worry, self-pity, depression, and you know, a lot of people are experiencing those things in their lives. And that's what Satan uses. Those are stones or tactics or snares that Satan uses against anyone, Christians or lost people. Those that don't know him personally, this is where how he works. These are the traps that he uses. All of these things are Satan's strategy to stop up our well that flows freely from God. So when your soul is full of these stones, it hinders the flow of God's Spirit within you. So what do? You go to the Lord, and you pray, and you seek him, and say, "Lord, remove all of these obstacles that Satan is trying to hinder me or stop up my spiritual well." And if we continue to thirst after his righteousness, we'll find it. And so what are the things that Satan will use to stop up a well? Those are it. Worry, self-pity, and depression. And then secondly, he used dirt. He uses dirt. The dirt of judgment, that is a horrific thing. Hatred, bitterness, resentment, or unforgiveness. These are the things that Satan will try to use against us. The dirt of jealousy and competition. All of these things will definitely stop up your well and hinder the flow of the righteousness and the peace and the joy that God desires to have for you and me. These are the things. So God wants to unstop your well, and he will. He desires that the river of life in you flow freely. You know, in the physical world, we all have running water and we have drains and all of those things. And sometimes they stop up, don't they? And it's a troublesome. If you can't have running water, if your drains won't drain, and then it backs up, right? Then you got to call a plumber. You got to call somebody to come and winch it out or take care of it. In the spiritual side, we have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help. I need your help in these areas. So God, Jesus wants to experience the renewing energy of living water in our lives. Okay, last of all, God's word will unstop your well. Proverbs 16:22 and 18, and we'll find some of the things that Solomon, the wisest man ever lived, he gave us some good advice. So if our well becomes plugged, the solution is not to construct a cistern or some other method. What we need to do is to clean out and unstop our own well. So how do we do this? How is this accomplished? Well, listen to what Proverbs 16:22 says. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it. Understanding. So understanding the Word of God. How do we understand it? We read it, we study it, we meditate on it, and we reflect on God's goodness and his mercy. All of the things that we need to know to unstop the wells that are our spiritual flow of water in our lives, the joy and the peace that we have in Christ Jesus. If you lose it, you can get it back. But understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it. And then in Proverbs 18:4, the well of wisdom is a flowing brook. Now, Solomon, I'm sure, he had a lot of problems in his own life. He was a king. He had a lot of decisions. And he knew, as being a king, he would have to have some understanding. He could have wealth. He could have anything in this world. But he said, God, I need your wisdom most of all. Now, your wisdom will give me that understanding that you talked about in here in chapter 16 of Proverbs. So we need understanding and we need God's wisdom to overcome all the blockages in our lives. So in order for our well to become unstopped, there must be a continual supply of fresh water feeding our soul at all times, to flush out all the garbage and the filth of this world that has been tossed in our lives by Satan himself. You know, sometimes it's uncomfortable to talk about Satan's sin or any of those things, but it's real. We need to be aware and warned of these things, and the Bible gives us all the information that we need to know. So Solomon said, you know, you need understanding. You need wisdom. We do need that wisdom to be able to make good decisions. So how can we receive this constant flow of pure water and fresh living water? And what can make the water of life begin to flow again within our dry and thirsty soul? Two key things here I want us to see found in these verses, these two verses, chapter 16:22 and then 18 verse 4, are understanding and wisdom. Those are the two key words found here in these verses that we need to know. Understanding and wisdom. I cannot say that enough. And you know what? I pray for understanding and wisdom practically every day. I need it. As a pastor, as a Christian, as a husband, as a dad, I need that. We never know who we're going to meet that we need to pass on some godly, spiritual information. And at the right time, that will happen. to those that need to hear it the most. And according to Proverbs, understanding and wisdom are gained through instructions in the ways of the Lord. And even going back to chapter 1 of Proverbs, verses 2 and 3 helps us understand that the teaching found within in God's Word, this Bible, are a flowing brook which provides the wellspring of living water. I mean, you have it right here. We have it. God preserved it. Let's use it. So, in closing this morning, when we read and when we study God's Word, we will become as a tree that has sunken its roots deeply into the ground. If you've ever done any landscaping or planting trees and then you decide that you want to transplant it or move it, guess where that taproot is? I mean, you got to go deep. That the tree in nature knows to go deep into the ground, seeking fresh water to make it full so it will grow and produce fruit of whatever God has created each tree to do in this world. So we need to go deep, real deep, into the Word of God, so that we won't be surprised by the things of this world. And one of these, and then when we are surprised, then we have all the answers. We know how to come back or to be sustained in a world of trouble. So the main taproot of many trees will descend all the way until it reaches the water table, where it will receive a constant flow of water. If it doesn't find it, then what happens? It withers. This is kind of ironic. Brenda and I was planting our garden last week and so forth, and she had successfully planted a lot of things that she'd transplanted, and guess what? I was working in that area. And I looked down, and one of the plants, and I think it was a pepper, it was leaning over. So I picked it up and piled a lot of dirt around it to help it support it and everything. And guess who saw that? Brenda. And she asked me, "What did you do?" I said, "I don't know. I saw it laying over, so I thought I was going to help it out, and I just put a lot of dirt around it." She said, "No, I think you broke it." Because I was working, tillering, and all that stuff around it. And sure enough, it withered. I broke off its main stream of supply of water. And see, that's what happens. And you can do all you want to try to restore it, but sometimes, you know, when it's damaged that much in real life. But in our spiritual life, you know, the Lord said, "Well, I'm right here. I will replenish and bring back everything you need to regain so you won't thirst anymore. Have that joy that we have." And you see, when we immerse ourselves in the Word of God, then we're bringing continual renewal within our lives. That's how it happens. But we got to be in the Word. And two things to remember: understanding and wisdom. It's all right here in God's Word. We can have it all. Let us pray. Father God, we praise you. We thank you for all that you do in our lives. And Lord, we know that we're in a spiritual warfare, battle in this world. All over the world, countries are battling with each other. And it's a spiritual warfare. And many countries don't know you personally, but to countries, Lord, that do know you and call you God, Father. Understanding the battles of Satan, still have to battle in this world. But as the song the choir sang earlier, Wednesdays we won't have to worry about it anymore. But until then, Lord, each day we need to have a fresh flowing stream of water flowing through our lives. And we'll find that in your word. We find that in our closeness and walking with you, worshiping you, praising you, and sharing you with others. That's what you desire in each one of our lives, and we all can have that. So whatever the need is, the spiritual need in our congregation today, everyone here, Lord, we all have particular needs. We all are in a place in our life in our spiritual walk with you, and you have all the answers. Lord, help us to find them with the understanding and the wisdom that we gain through your word. And Lord, sometimes it helps to come just to the altars and pray and just pour out our hearts and say, Lord, I need you. I need your understanding. I need your wisdom. Whatever that need is this day, salvation is provided through your Son, Jesus Christ. Whatever that need is today, Lord, may we have the freedom. And we do have that freedom because you provide that as well, to make that decision for you and for your kingdom. We praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.